Good morning, Cedars. Hi, everybody. I'm leaving after this. Aww, I know. But I'm going to be around a little bit this morning, and I hope to be able to hug many of you goodbye. Do you know what today is? It's Monday. It's Princess Day. It's Sports Day. I know that. I'm sorry I didn't have a crown to wear. I'm wearing my cross and crown. But today is also, I think I heard somebody over here say, something's going on in Boston this morning or today. It's annual meeting day of the Mother Church. And I just thought it might be good for us to think about that a little bit and support it and be a part of it. I think I talked with Gay and Warren, and I understand that y'all are going to have an opportunity. I'm from Texas, so I get to say y'all. Y'all are going to have an opportunity to watch a recording of that worldwide event later in the week. I think it's Thursday, Gay, is that right? Something like that. So, but since it's the day today, I've been thinking a lot over the last couple of years about what Mrs. Eddy expected of members of her church. Now, you remember last night we talked about the church where, was everybody there? That we talked about the church that we're members of, which is designed to remember what it says, to not to reinstate primitive Christianity. That's the old church. She redesigned the church to heal and save the world. This church is designed for healing and saving the world from sin and death. I'll just read that little part one more time so you can hear it. The First Church of Christ Scientist in Boston, Massachusetts is designed to be built on the rock Christ. Even the understanding and demonstration of divine truth, life, and love, those are all capitalized, obviously, healing and saving the world from sin and death. That's big, isn't it? And then she says, thus to reflect in some degree the church universal and triumphant. Well, how in the world are we supposed to do that? Last night we talked about Feed My Sheep, and Mrs. Eddy wrote Feed My Sheep, and she showed us how to get to healing the world and helping the world. Remember the first verse is, it's first person singular, I, shepherd, show me how to go o'er the hillside steep. I will listen for thy voice. I will follow and rejoice. Second verse is we will enter by the door, and thou knowest thine own. That's us. All those collective activities that we were talking about. Third verse, they, shepherd, wash them clean. They. We can't, remember, go from the first to the third. We've got to go through that collective. But we have to bring our own light. We have to bring that prayer for ourselves, that prayer. Where it starts is individually, like Paul's saying, what wilt thou have me to do? It's individual prayer. Mrs. Eddy, you know, didn't start out to make a church. Everybody knows that, right? She didn't say, hey, I think I'm going to found a church. She started out with her healing, her own healing. And then what did she do with that? She healed others. She studied. She prayed a lot. She said she won her way to absolute conclusions through divine revelation. Do you remember what else? Reason. And demonstration, three things: revelation, reason, and demonstration. When you've had a healing, think about it. Think about healing experiences you've had. Have those three components been involved in them, usually? Sometimes you have a BFO, you know, blinding flash of the obvious. I brought my glasses. I'm not sure where they are, but they're here someplace. Oh, there they are. Thank you. Blinding flash of the obvious. Sometimes you have, like, an angel just comes to you and says something to you, and you go, hey, what does that mean? And you think about it. So you have the revelation, and then you reason, and then you realize you've had a healing, and you realize that healing. Sometimes, though, you have to sit down and reason first. Have you ever had to do that? Where you have to really pray first. You have to work. You have to get the lesson out. You have to get your Bible out. You have to really reason first to get to the aha moment, that BFO moment, where then the healing comes. And sometimes, I don't know if you've ever had this, but I have, where you have a healing and you kind of scratch your head and you go, how did that happen? And you realize, you think about it, and then the aha comes. So, but those three components, reason, revelation, and demonstration in any order, are a very interesting thing that Mrs. Eddy experienced herself, and then she taught others to practice and to embrace and to expect in our lives and to almost demand in our lives to say, this is what life can be, like cedars. So, I've been thinking about those things because first she healed, then what did she do? She didn't form a church then, even after she'd been healing. Then she started teaching. She taught other people how to do what she was doing. And she had an association of the people that she had taught. She would teach one class, and then she'd teach another class, and then those people would form an association, and then she'd teach another class, and then that group was part of her association, until she had so many students. It was called the Christian Scientist Association, and that's what she did. And then she wrote. Well, she was writing all the time. She wrote, and then she published her book. And she expected the world and the churches to embrace this, didn't she? She didn't set out to found a church. She didn't expect to have to found a church. She thought that the other churches would embrace it. But then she realized that her students, who had been studying and practicing and healing, they really wanted and needed to worship together in a different way than the churches out there were worshiping. She had ministers and of other religions coming to her, and they started coming. And when she started having church services, she told her her students, and this I first read in a Cedars lesson met a couple of years ago. It's from a reminiscence by a man named William Kaufman, and he knew Julia Bartlett. You know, Julia Bartlett was one of Mrs. Eddy's really close people in her household. And Mrs. Eddy apparently said this to Julia Bartlett and another of Mrs. Eddy's students, Martha Wilcox, one time, when they were asking her about church and stuff, and Mrs. Eddy said this. She said, "Why, you girls don't think you go to church to worship God as we used to, do you? Our God isn't to be worshiped, but expressed. We go to church to express God for the world, to give the world a treatment. The prayers offered in church are for the purpose of helping the organization to do its work to express God." Now, does that relate to those three steps in Shepherd? We're helping the world, saving the world from sin and death. That's the purpose of her church. So when we go to church, it's interesting because one of the things that Mrs. Eddy gives us in her church manual is a bylaw that talks about prayer in church. And do you know what she says our prayers in churches should be? For the congregations, collectively and exclusively. So we're supposed to be praying for ourselves, but here she's saying we pray for ourselves to be able to do the work that she's given us to do. So what does she expect of her members? I've been thinking a lot about that. And when you look at what she says about membership and about what she did, she has lots of things. Can anybody remember any of the daily duties in Mrs. Eddy's manual or in her writings? What did Mrs. Eddy expect of us as members? I think most of us are members of the church. What did she expect of us as members? Defend yourself daily against aggressive mental suggestion. I love that because it seems aggressive, comes at you in your face like this, but it's mental. You know, it's not physical, it's not out there. And the third, so it's mental, it's aggressive, but it's mental. And then the third word is like poof, it's a suggestion. It goes poof. So as you see it for what it is. So that's one of the daily duties. Any others? Have, And that is in the same bylaw, not to be made to forget nor to neglect your duty to God, to your leader, and to mankind. So the question is, what is our duty? And somebody said over here, another daily duty? Daily prayer. Daily prayer. And what does that end with? Exclamation mark. And govern them, right? Okay, there are lots and lots of these kinds of daily duties that Mrs. Eddy expected. And Gay was kind enough to print out, and I left it down there too, but it's a handout of you for you. For the last couple of years, I've been, Gay's got them back there, and she'll have them in the office for anybody that wants them. It's 4 pages I've collected over the last couple of years because I've been looking to see what is it that she expects of me as a church member, not just to go to church on Sunday, not just to do these things, but to, she expected really big things of us. And I'll read you just a couple samples because it gives you a hint. Here, one thing I have greatly desired and again earnestly request, namely that Christian Scientists here and elsewhere pray daily for themselves, not verbally, but mentally, meekly, and importunately. That's one. She wanted us to pray. She says she earnestly requests that. She says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself has daily to be exemplified. So the golden rule, right? She expected us to practice that every day. She says, how many are there ready to suffer for a righteous cause, to stand a long siege, take the front rank, face the foe, and be in the battle every day? She expected that of us, to be willing to be in the battle every day, to fight this good fight. She says, watch and pray daily that evil suggestions in whatever guise take no root in your thought nor bear fruit. And I'll just read one. Well, let's see. I might read two more. Let me see. Oh, these are really good. This is relating to the third verse. You know, and that those individual, collective, and universal. She also uses that same pattern in O Gentle Presence. Remember when she says, his arm encircles me, mine, this collective, and all. So that's a pattern that she says. Well, here she says, for many years I have prayed daily that there be no more war, no more barbarous slaughtering of our fellow beings, prayed that all the peoples on earth and the islands of the sea have one God, one mind, love God supremely, and love their neighbor as themselves. And finally, this is the last one I'll read. Each day I pray for the pacification of all national difficulties. You know, think about it. We're not just aware of these things and say, oh dear, but each day pray for the pacification of all national difficulties, for the brotherhood of man, for the end of idolatry, and for the growth and establishment of Christian religion, Christ's Christianity. I also have faith that my prayer availeth, and that he who is overturning will overturn until he come whose right it is. Each day I pray, God bless my enemies. Make them thy friends. Give them to know the joy and the peace of love. Okay, so how do we do this? I think several weeks ago, I was getting on a plane and flying from a 4-hour flight from one city back home. And just before I got on the plane, I got news that a relative of mine had been hospitalized in Houston, where I was going to my home. And so this family are not really Christian Scientists, and so I got on the plane and I just prayed. The entire way I was praying to be a transparency. I knew I was going to go to the hospital as soon as I got there, and I thought, I really want to represent what it means to be a member of this church as I go into this situation. So I prayed the whole way and just prayed for everybody and everything and for the world, me and mine and all. Used that hymn. Got there, got in my car, drove straight to the hospital, walked in, and the room where this relative was full of people, doctors and attendants and stuff. And as I walked in the room, it's a young relative, saw me and she said, "Aunt Chris, hi." And it melted my heart because I knew she recognized sort of why I was there. And I couldn't get to her, and we couldn't speak at that point, so all I did was wave. And then I looked around to see what I could do, and my another relative was standing with a nurse who was getting directions where they were going to move this relative very soon. And so I just stood on the other side of the nurse, and I watched as she gave the directions. Just watched, hadn't said a word. After she finished giving directions, she looked up, she turned to me and she looked up, and she looked at me and she just kind of stared at me for a second, for about 5 or 10 seconds, and she said, "What do you do?" And I said, you know, here I am, this is a medical nurse and I'm in this medical setting, and I said, "Well, I do a lot of praying with people." I said, "I do a lot of religious work and I do a lot of praying." And she interrupted me and she said, "I knew it! You're a spiritual witness! I want to be a spiritual witness." And she cornered me. She literally took me in the corner of the room and she talked to me for about 10 or 15 minutes about how to be a spiritual witness. I had not said a word. And it made me think about what it is that we are as members of the Mother Church, that Mrs. Eddy, why she gave us these things, what she expects of us. We are the light of the world, Jesus said. Put that light on a candlestick. And Cedars is one of those candlesticks. Your school is one of those candlesticks. Your job, your family, all of those collective places where you let your light shine out into the world. You may never know where it goes, like the sun, or what it's shining on. Just let it shine. As a member of this congregation here this morning, I know you are God's witnesses. Did anybody notice in the lesson this morning all of God's job description things and man's God description, your job description and God's job description and all of those absolutes? All of them. They're all there. So let your light shine. It's going to shine all the way to Houston, where I'm going to be going in a day or so. And I'm going to feel it. I'm taking some of that light from you back and letting it be reflected where I am. So thank you again. And I know you'll enjoy identifying with the annual meeting when you get to see it. And have a great summer. Thank you so much for being witnesses that have blessed me.